Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Senator's suggestion that the men and women of our military are somehow uneducated is insulting and it is shameful.
Sick and tired of a whole bunch of Republican attacks, most of which come from people who never wore the uniform and never had the courage to stand up and go to war themselves. Enough is enough. We're not going to stand for this.
There they go again. You'd think it was the 2004 election rather than the 2006. It is that time of year, but neither Bush nor Kerry are on the ballot the last time I looked. The late Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, once said all politics is local. But this year, it seems, there is a debate at the heart of the battle for control of Congress over how much politics should be seen as local and how much as national. Is a vote for Tom Kaine Jr. really a vote for George W. Bush? The Democrats would like you to think so. The Republicans would not. Though the GOP, too, seems to want to turn your local Democrat into Nancy Pelosi at every turn. It's our 2006 election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. Issue 28, Is All Politics National? In 2006. With me now is former Republican Congressman Dick Zimmer of New Jersey, and we are expecting momentarily Democratic Congressman Charles Rangel of Manhattan, who's been in a public exchange of words with Dick Cheney this week, just below the radar of Bush versus Kerry, but Cheney actually making the case that all politics is national, because if the Democrats control the House, guess who would be chairman of the Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee? That's right, Congressman Rangel. But Congressman Zimmer, welcome back to WNYC. Hello there.
Great to be back.
In your opinion, should voters in House races around the country consider this a national election more than a local one?
Actually, I think the dichotomy is kind of arbitrary. Every election is both. I mean, it reminds me of the edifying debate between whether Miller Lite is less filling or tastes great. Every election has elements of both. I think that this year's election is probably more national than Republicans would like. But you have a congressman like Rob Simmons in Eastern Connecticut who wouldn't even be in the game. He's in a very heavily Democratic district. The reason why he's has a decent chance of hanging on is because he helped save the New London shipyard, submarine base. You go district by district, and you find that there are local issues or the personality or the quirks of the candidates. And unfortunately, this year, a lot of the Republicans who are in trouble have self-inflicted wounds, which are local, I guess.
Right. So Simmons is an example of a particularly Republican concern, saving that base as something that may get him support from his constituents, even if they don't agree with him on major national issues
It's a bipartisan concern. I mean, Democrats and Republicans in that district wanted to save the base. Joe Lieberman and Simmons worked together to do so. A Democrat and a Republican, and Senator Lieberman is taking credit for it too in his reelection campaign. You have all kinds, like there's a congressman in Indiana, Chris Ciccola, who's in deep trouble because of an abstruse dispute in Indiana relating to daylight savings time and another dispute relating to the privatization of the Indiana toll road. He has nothing to do with either of them. But the governor of Indiana, Republican, is unpopular, and it's unfortunately hurting all the Republicans on the ticket. You recall way back in 1990, a very popular Senator Bill Bradley from New Jersey was nearly knocked off by an unknown candidate named Christy Whitman because of a tax revolt relating to Jim Florio's state taxes,
right,
which had nothing to do with...
Interesting. That was the opposite case, right,
yeah,
where he had nothing to do with state politics,
mm-hmm,
but he was being punished in his national role for being in the same party as Jim Florio.
Right.
Former Republican congressman from New Jersey, Dick Zimmer, with me on WNYC, and also joining us now, Congressman Charles Rangel, Democrat from Manhattan. Congressman Rangel, welcome back to WNYC.
Good station, good interview. Glad to be with you.
In your opinion, Congressman, should voters in House races around the country consider this a national election more than a local one?
I think that's a done deal. I don't think Democrats have anything
to
do with
this.
If it wasn't national and it was member to member, I don't think we would stand a chance of picking up the 15 seats that we need.
Congressman Zimmer, can you hear him now? You're having a problem, I know.
No, I haven't heard a word that.
Okay, we'll keep working on that. In the meantime, Congressman Rangel, so you think this is a national election, and maybe it goes both ways, because this dust up that you've been having with Vice President Cheney this week, you called him, quote, a son of a bitch, but that was after he said, you'll be chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, which writes taxes if the Democrats take control of Congress, and you don't understand the economy. So it sounds like it's all national for him, too.
No, I think that both of us sometimes just like to release our frustrations, and he's a very hard-swinging guy in the White House, and sometimes this happens, but I do hope
is that an
that
apology,
after the election,
Congressman Rangel, is that an apology for your language?
Yes, for saying it publicly. After all, I'm talking with a guy that told my dear friend Pat Leahy on the Senate floor that he should commit a sexual act on himself. So I don't have any apology.
Very delicately put in light of the FCC.
But the truth of the matter is, I don't think the public wants to hear this from Cheney, and certainly not from me. And I don't think it really helps us to get the campaign and the post-campaign on the right tone, because I think the people are fed up with the Congress, and it's just because the Republicans are in charge that they may give us a chance to see whether we can govern better.
Yeah. I want to play the audio of a TV commercial that's running on behalf of Republicans from the Conservative Club for Growth PAC, and to alert our listeners, and Congressman, maybe you know this already, when he mentions a New York liberal in this spot, the picture that's on the screen is a picture of you.
Liberal Larry Grant is running for Congress. He says he wants to increase the payroll tax and keep the death tax. Says he would increase welfare spending. Even says he would raise the Social Security retirement age. But what would a vote for Larry Grant really mean? A vote for Grant is a vote to put San Francisco and New York liberals back in charge of Congress. Club for Growth PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
So what do you think of that ad, Congressman Rangel? Nancy Pelosi's picture was up there when he said San Francisco, when she said San Francisco, and yours when she said New York liberal. That's a national ad.
Well, I have to tell you, as an American, as a voter, and as a Democrat, I think these negative ads are really turning off America. You know, every morning the ads are there, and they're so inaccurate, but at the same time it's been proven that they've been very effective. It turns off voters, but it reinforces people thinking badly about candidates. And so I can understand why they're using my picture more and more. Guy from Harlem, and there are a lot of concerns perhaps in the Republican Party about that, or Nancy Pelosi, and there's just some built-in animosity about women. And
are you saying there's a racial implication there?
Well, as long as you live in this great country of ours, to deny it would be untrue.
Congressman Zimmer, you think that's why they picked Charles Rangel of all liberal Democrats to put in that ad?
No, I don't think so. By the way, good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. Good to talk with you.
I'm glad you can hear each other now.
Yes.
Yeah. I the fact is that Charlie Rangel is, I don't know whether you're denying it, you're a liberal, Charlie, these days, but Charlie's a liberal from New York City. And I know that Nancy Pelosi has not denied that she's a liberal from San Francisco. I don't know that it's particularly effective because, with all due respect to Charlie Rangel, I'm not sure that voters in the heartland know who he is, or even Nancy Pelosi, which is why linking Republicans to Bush carries more clout, because everybody knows who George Bush is. But it is a fact that most of the individuals who are in line to become chairman of the key committees in Congress are well to the left of the center of the Democratic Party, let alone the center of the American electorate.
Well, Congress,
and I don't think that has anything to do with race.
Congressman Rangel, you would be presumably chairman of the Ways and Means Committee if you're elected to Congress. I mean, if the Democrats take control of Congress, is it legitimate, in your opinion, to have the House race somewhere in Idaho or wherever be a referendum on President Bush on the one side, but also you in charge of the Tax Writing Committee on the other?
I just don't see, you know, I agree with Don that most people have no clue as to who I am. And so I don't see how my photograph in color would help them to understand my views on taxes or the economy. But I don't think that's a big issue at all. It's fair to say that in my district, they don't call me a liberal or conservative. And I guess we would have to talk about the issues, and those people that would tally up votes, liberal and conservative, using the L word as they would, I guess I would be coming out on that side. But there's nothing in me that feels that if we're talking about getting out of this darn war, stopping corruption, balancing the budget, having the tax code to be simplified, correcting Social Security, getting a handle on health care costs and Medicare. I guess when you're talking to people who want to eliminate Social Security, push off Medicare to the private sector, block grant Medicaid to the states, and not want to deal with the tax cuts for the middle class as opposed to the more wealthy in these countries as relates to estate tax repeal, I guess that if you're doing this LC thing, liberal-conservative thing, that I'll end up perhaps left of center. But on the issues, I truly believe that as the president talks about how the economy is doing so terrific, and you would think that would be the conservative view, I have no problems in going around the country talking about the fears of the middle class, how they're not getting increases in salaries. They're concerned about their pensions. They're concerned about their health care. They're working two jobs to keep their heads above water. They're borrowing money. They're pulling out the equity in
their
homes.
If I can, let me zero in on that one particular issue, and we'll leave the rest of the laundry list aside for another time to debate whether the Republicans really want to eliminate Social Security, as you put it, or whatever. But on the tax cuts, which is the issue that Cheney was raising to stir fear in the hearts of middle Americans about you as chairman of Ways and Means, would you let some of the specific tax cuts enacted under President Bush die by not bringing them to a vote for renewal if you were Ways and Means chair?
Well, very few people have asked this specific question, and what they're talking about is these tax cuts that expire in 2010. And I think it's irresponsible for a tax writer to say in 2007 what they're going to do for 2010.
That's fair enough, but you've been out in the past against the tax cuts as they exist, haven't you?
No question about it, but I also think that it's bad policy to increase taxes when people have come to be dependent on it. I think it's bad politically, and to retroactively do anything with the tax increases, I think is bad tax policy. And so, but the issue is that how can you impossible to project what you're going to do in 2010 when you don't know what the economy is going to look like. You don't know whether we'll be at war with Iran, with Syria, with North Korea. And the president's not going to be here in 2010. Yeah. I may not be here in 2010. So I think it serves enough to say that retroactively, I think that we should never have any tax increases.
So retroactively, we should never have any tax increases?
Yes.
Retroactively. So
yes.
You wouldn't tax people for past years, even if you raise them for the future.
Exactly.
All right. Congressman Zimmer, what do you want to say?
Well, I remember when Charlie and I were in Congress together, the Democrats, including Congressman Rangel, voted in favor of a retroactive tax increase in the estate taxes, I recall, for people who had already died before we voted for it. But I think that one of the few national issues that are working for the Republicans this year is taxes, because I think, generally speaking, Republicans are against them and Democrats are less against them, or in many cases for them. And you can just talk about tax breaks for the rich, but these tax breaks help employers, investors, and are to a very large extent responsible for the economic growth that we've had. Anybody who's interested in what Charlie Rangel's going to do as chair should just look at his decades of service in Congress and how he's voted.
When we continue in a minute, we'll open up the phones for our listeners, whether you're voting in the Cain Menendez race, the Shays Farrell race in Connecticut, and we'll hear a clip of each of them. That's an interesting one, where what might have been determined by local politics may be determined by national politics this year in that House race. And we want to know from you, if you're voting in any of these contested races, are all politics national in 2006? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. And we'll continue with Dick Zimmer and Charles Rangel in a minute.
Really important here is that we talk about the majority, those in the majority, and what they have done or not done with the power that they hold in Washington. And that includes Chris Shays, the president's number one supporter on the war in Iraq.
Democratic candidate for Congress, Diane Farrell, in Connecticut, running against Republican Congressman Christopher Shays, who doesn't want us to think that all politics are quite that national.
I asked them, if there is a majority that's not a Republican majority, do they need minority members, me, who can reach out to both sides of the aisle? I would ask them to look at that issue.
It's our 2006 election series, 30 issues in 30 days. Coming up in the series tomorrow, issue 29, Polarized America, Is There Any Other Way? And Friday, issue 30, Is the Middle Class Being Squeezed Dry? And then Monday, a bonus issue, What to Do About Alan Hevesy. But we continue now with issue 28, Is All Politics Local in 2006, with Democratic Congressman Charles Rangel of Manhattan and former Republican Congressman Dick Zimmer, now a lawyer in private practice in New Jersey. And let's do a little bit of history. Congressman Zimmer, give us some historical context on Tip O'Neill's phrase, if you know it. What did he mean at the time, the 1970s or 80s, I guess, when he said all politics is local?
I think he meant that that particularly in off-year elections, the voters like to look at their local member of Congress and what he or she has done for them or to them, and generally speaking, that's a huge element in politics. We are a tremendously diverse country with wildly differing perspectives and interests, and some of them are parochial, some of them are regional. And without understanding the way each congressional district thinks and what its local interests are, you really can't cobble together a majority. And that's a good thing. On the other hand, in every election, as I indicated before, I don't think Tip O'Neill would disagree with this, there are overriding national issues that the voters do take into consideration. And particularly in an off-year election, it's to some extent a referendum on the president in power.
You want to get in on the history lesson, Congressman Rangel?
I agree with Dick. And what adds to this being local is that so many members run against the Congress. They're doing the right thing, but they're trying to convince their colleagues in the Congress to support them. And so, therefore, people have a tendency to be fond of their congressperson, even though they may have problems with the institution. And of course, the incumbents who bring home the public works and bring home the money, that is considered locally. But those who drafted the Constitution really allowed for the Congress, the House of Representatives, rather, to be that valve that allows people to relieve their frustrations when they can't get to the president, when they can't get to two-thirds of the Senate. They can throw the rascals out whether they like them or not, because I went through this when I served on the Judiciary Committee. And many good Republicans in the House were just defeated because they supported Dick Nixon, who disappointed them. So I think that's what we're going through now, because, as I said earlier, if it was not a national referendum, the way the districts have been gerrymandered to safe Republican seats and safe Democratic seats, we would never be able to get back 15 districts because they wouldn't be in play. But I think it's safe to say that this is a national election.
Megan in Norwalk, you're on WNYC. Hi, Megan.
Hi. I just think it's a race for Congress. Congress is the national body. Every 2 years, it's a national election. I've known Chris Shays for years, and I think he's a great guy. I've known Diane for a long time. I'm voting for her because we need Democrats to get some control back. But for local politics, I'm worrying about my state senator and my state representative and my mayor. It's, well, actually, the mayor's not running this year. But local politics is local. And Chris Shays and Diane Farrell, regardless of which one of them gets in, is going to do what they can to get a little bit kicked back to Connecticut, but that has nothing to do with it. It's Congress. It's a national election.
Dick Zimmer, do you want to take issue with that at all?
I think that Chris Shays, when in that soundbite that you had from him, makes a good point that you're not only talking about the Republican team versus the Democratic team, you're also talking about the ability of the institution to function. And Chris is so independent that he drives many of his Republican colleagues nuts. But in a House that's likely to be very closely divided, you need people who can walk across the aisle like Chris, who have the respect of Democrats as well as Republicans.
Let me play that.
Make the national institution work.
Let me play that Shays clip again, and Megan will get your reaction to it.
Okay.
I asked them, if there is a majority that's not a Republican majority, do they need minority members, me, who can reach out to both sides of the aisle? I would ask them to look at that issue.
Is that a persuasive argument for you at all, Megan?
It's not for me, because my feeling is what we needed, and Chris Shays is, I grant, a good representative of somebody who tries to work bipartisanly, but the point is that the rest of his party, who have been in power, don't give a word I can't say on the radio about reaching across the aisle. He is the rare exception. And as nice as it is to have him be a rare exception, we have to think in terms of getting the Democrats back in. It's a national election. And Diane, I believe, will also reach across the aisle to the Republicans assuming she gets in and assuming the Democrats are back in control.
All I can say is between you and Dick Cheney and Charlie Rangel, we're going to need a better bleep button here soon.
Hey, I bleeped myself.
You did bleep yourself. Self-bleeping. Megan, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. As we ask the question, is all politics local? In 2006, issue 28 in our 30 Issues in 30 Days series,
like
with former...
I'd like to respond to that last exchange that we've had.
You can, Congressman Rangel. Go.
We are both going to have to reach across the aisle, Democrats and Republicans. With the problems that we're facing, clearly, the Democrats won't have the votes, and there is no Democratic solution. There has to be bipartisan solutions. So to vote for someone that has the ability to deal with the opposite party, I think it's better to vote for the principles of the party that you're talking about. We have a lot of Democrats who vote Republican, and they're saying that they have to do it because they'll be with us, you know, when they need it to vote for the leadership. But I think that if you vote for the principles, that you don't have to worry about crossing the aisle. I think Republicans and Democrats both are going to have to work together. If Democrats get the opportunity to lead, we have to prove that we have the ability to get it. And if the president wants two effective legislative years left of his administration, there's no question he's going to have to be more flexible.
How would you do that, for example, as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee?
Very easily. First of all, we are a smaller committee than most of the House standing committees. Second, we have a history of being appointed to the committee because we have some stability in our home district. Thirdly, we have a history of working together on trade and other issues in a bipartisan way. And lastly is by taking the committee off of the Hill, going on retreats like we used to do, bringing in members of the administration not to testify for 5 minutes, but to share with us in depth the complexities of the problems that the nation is facing, and to bring in other economists and people that think differently about it. And most of the Republicans never had a chance to legislate, the newer ones on that committee, because in order to keep the Democrats out, they had the whole the Republican hostage. So I'm pretty optimistic that given a chance for all of us to breathe and work together, that we can find some bipartisan solutions if the White House is cooperative.
That's actually tomorrow's issue in this 30 Issues in 30 Days series. Is America doomed to be a more and more polarized nation? Congressman Zimmer, do you want to get in on that briefly?
Well, I think what Charlie's proposing is great. Remember when the Democrats were in the majority the last time, they didn't have such a open and accommodating leadership style. And if he wants to institute that, I think it would be very helpful, because there's been a lot of unnecessary divisiveness on the Ways and Means Committee. The reason why I sought and eventually achieved membership on the Ways and Means Committee was because it was known as a committee that could work together and that just didn't get it down in the partisan trenches and snipe at each other the way that a fair number of committees had a reputation for doing. As Congress has gotten more polarized, so has the Ways and Means Committee, and personalities may have played a role in that as well.
We'll do more on this tomorrow, as I say, at 11 o'clock.
But we did do it in 1986, where Ross Kinkowski, we had a Democratic majority on the committee, but we have Ronald Reagan and we had Packwood from the Republican from the Senate, and we had a 1986 tax reconciliation bill.
Right.
Democratic Congressman Charles Rangel, former Republican Congressman Dick Zimmer with me for a few more minutes on WNYC. Let's go through some more of these phone calls. Let me ask everybody to keep it brief, and let's get some comments out there. Jack in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jack.
The Republicans are saying that Pelosi should scare them, and that wherever you are, you should vote against the Democrat. I'm scared about Pelosi, but for a different reason. She's on record against promoting Jane Harman, the ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, to chairman if she becomes Speaker.
Because Harman is, she has policy differences with Harman, and
well,
I guess some other rivalry. But
I don't
Harman
know what
is,
those policy differences are, because the stories don't tell me. But
Harman is generally, I think, a little more hawkish than Nancy Pelosi. Is that fair to say, Congressman Rangel?
I don't really know. I know that at many times Harman appeared to be more supportive of the administration than the minority leader, but I've never heard any discussions directly from either one of them.
Well, is that to say then that Pelosi as Speaker would be punishing Harmon for being somewhat bipartisan or not partisan enough?
I've never heard this punishing business. I've never heard her inclination as relates to who.
Yeah, it was in one of the papers, maybe the New York Times the other day, that if the Democrats take power, Harmon, who's the ranking Democrat on Armed Services Committee, might not be in line for it because Pelosi doesn't like her.
That's the Intelligence Committee.
Intelligence Committee, I'm sorry.
I heard that the Intelligence Committee had term limits unlike other committees.
No, I think this is all about the decision of the Speaker, Charlie. And what makes it even more interesting is next in line by seniority to Representative Harmon is Alcee Hastings, who was impeached and convicted by the House and the Senate.
But reelected.
When he was a judge. And the vote, you were there, I don't know how you voted, but the vote was 413-3 against Alcee Hastings to impeach him.
I don't want to go further down this road about the Intelligence Committee, but Bill in Old Saybrook, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I just have a question about the seniority Lieberman will have if he wins. Local senators aren't talking about it, but a reason to vote for Lieberman is because he'll retain seniority, but that's not clear. Just have a question.
Congressman Rangel, who's that up to?
That's the Senate rules. I have no idea
Dick Zimmer, is it rules, or is it going to be up to the Senate leadership if the Democrats take?
No, it's Senate. It's Senate rules as to whether there's continuity of service, so that
it's the rules of the particular parties. I mean, you know, Charlie, that Republicans gave up the strict seniority rule, strict seniority practices when we took the majority after the 1994 elections. That didn't take a change in the rules of the House, just a change in the governing practices of the House.
And that was considered a partisan move at the time because the Gingrich leadership wanted to promote who they wanted to promote to committee chairs, not who was in line by seniority.
I think that one of the problems was ideological. Yeah, it was ideological, and it was also a management issue. What had happened in the House was that the committee chairs and the subcommittee chairs had become so powerful that the leadership really was hobbled and couldn't get things through. You remember health care legislation couldn't even reach the floor.
Let me make it clear that you talked about two different things. The seniority rules is not done by each body. What you're talking about is what role does seniority play in becoming a chairman or a subcommittee chairman. And always in the House rules, it was a major factor, but it never was the factor.
We'll see about Joe Lieberman if he gets back in as an independent.
I predict he'll get a seniority.
And Joe Lieberman, I should mention, will be our first guest on tomorrow's program. We will ask him that question now that that's come up. And Jim in South Orange, your last caller on this, WNYC. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I first off would like to take this opportunity to congratulate John Kerry on locating his spine. And just sorry that it happened far too late to do something very important a couple of years ago.
All right, Jim, I'm going to use that as the basis of my last question for Congressman Rangel. On this Kerry-Bush issue that's in the headlines today, Senator Kerry said, if you don't get a good education, you might wind up stuck in Iraq. He says he was making a joke about the president, not insulting the troops. But I thought of you, Congressman Rangel, on this, because if he did mean the troops, doesn't this echo one of your own serious issues, that there should be a draft so the uneducated and underprivileged don't get forced into an economic draft in wartime as we have now?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, half of the people in the poorer communities are not eligible for the draft because they have not completed high school. And so I really think what the senator did was make a bad attempt at a bad joke and fumbled up on all of the words, which is a nightmare for all of us in public office. But there's no question in my mind that the best of America are in the armed services, and they have certain standards you have to reach. And so you have to do your homework. You have to graduate in order to be eligible.
Dick Zimmer, last word.
Well, there's no question but that Kerry botched what was originally a bad joke. But evidently the political impact in his mind is so great that he's grounded himself. He's had some campaign appearances canceled around the country, and he's canceled the rest. So, you know, I think this is not good for the Democrats in that it at least takes them off their message, and it's one of the few breaks the Republicans have had this season.
By the way, I think it was wrong for the president to use this politically in front of the armed forces. I think that is true. They carry dropped the ball. But for the president to pick it up and say that this is a national issue.
What do you mean drop the ball?
And what he said, I mean, they misspoke. You know, there's no explanation for what he does. But for the president to work up the troops and to make a political issue out of it, I think is just as wrong.
By the way, for those of you interested in more political coverage, you may be interested in a TV show I'll be hosting tonight where we will be showing some of the web video that's being used in these last contentious days of the 2006 campaign. That'll be on CUNY TV, Channel 75 on the New York City cable systems tonight at 7:30. And that is it for today's edition of 30 Issues in 30 Days. Let other media wallow in the polls and the attack ads. We've got issues, and we know you do too. Congressman Charlie Rangel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Former Congressman Dick Zimmer, thank you so much.
Charlie, remember I was nice to you even when you were in the minority.
Listen, we all have to be a little more nice to each other.
Tomorrow, issue 28. No, tomorrow, issue 29, is polarization inevitable in American politics? And when we come back in a minute, international adoption in our international city. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org, and thanks.